Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go from the governor to the author, Jeff Passan. Jeff, Joe and Evan, how are you?
That was a seamless transition. Jeff, how are you?
What's going on, fellas?
What do you think of this gambling thing and how it impacts baseball? Because baseball's never been a game where I think a lot of people have the urge to put shekels down on it. It's always been football, even basketball more. In your expert opinion, how do you think this Supreme Court decision and eventuality that you're going to be able to bet on sports in many states, how does it impact baseball in your mind?
Well, let's start with this. I have a text chain with a group of friends from high school, a number of whom are sports gamblers. And my first question to them yesterday was, if you bet on baseball, are you a degenerate? And that was coming from the premise that the answer is yes, absolutely. If you bet on baseball, you're probably a degenerate. And the fact that the guys who responded no are the ones who I know are degenerates only proved that point. So this idea that baseball is going to be impacted by this, I think on the surface, doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But then you start looking at it a little more with a little more granularity, and you suddenly realize that the way this is going to work is like this. New Jersey is going to open its betting windows within a couple of weeks. Other states are going to be there and want their piece of the action. And I don't know if it's going to be Jersey. I don't know if it's going to be New York. I don't know if it's going to be a state otherwise. Someone's going to say, we're not just taking normal action. We're going to open up the prop window. And once props come into play, baseball suddenly is reborn. And I don't think, honestly, this may sound like an exaggeration. I don't think it is, though. I think baseball is going to become an incredibly popular gambling sport.
Wow.
Because everything that happens there, you are going to be able to open your phone, pull an app up, and say, this will be a ball or this will be a strike. And tap it and bet a nickel on it. You know, baseball can be like the penny slots of sports gambling.
Wow.
And there are so many small things that you can do. I just have trouble seeing a scenario where that is not what plays out.
Boy, that is the ultimate degeneracy. If you're betting on balls and strikes.
But it's only a nickel.
Only a nickel in theory. Yeah, come on. That's insanity.
I was talking with Dan Wetzel, who's our great columnist at Yahoo Sports and has been on the forefront of this story for, you know, a decade and a half now. And he was saying baseball is going to be like Keno. And there are just going to be so many different things that you can bet on baseball that suddenly an 8-1 game between two crap teams in September, the seventh inning is still going to matter. And that's where, you know, yesterday Mark Cuban said that the four big sports teams' franchise values doubled on May 14th, 2018 because of gambling. Well, we have to remember, guys, this is going to be a $50 billion+ a year infusion into the economy, and all of these sports teams are going to grab every single last solitary cent that they can. This changes sports, and I think we're going to look back on yesterday as a pretty historic day, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road.
Interesting. So do you think based on the nickel game, if you will, that baseball can become, that maybe baseball would actually benefit more than the other sports?
I think there's that. I also think that there are the secondary industries. And for the longest time, I made this argument in my column this morning, for the longest time, sabermetrics has been nice because it allows us a greater knowledge and understanding of the game. But really, like, the tangibility of that is nothing that you can grab or hold on to. Whereas with teams, they've been able to take these analytics and win championships from them to turn them into tangible victories. Now, all of a sudden, it's like version 2.0 of sabermetrics is that the fans are going to be able to take these numbers and try and get an advantage against the house. And as any good gambler knows, all you need is the slightest advantage, and that's where you start putting your money down. Mm. And the smart people out there are going to take this treasure trove of data and service an entirely new industry filled with gamblers who are looking for those marginal edges.
Mm. Wow. Talking baseball with Jeff Passan, actually talking gambling with him right now. So let's go back to baseball for a second. Are the Mets done now? What's your thoughts?
No, they're not done yet. They need a healthy DeGrom. There's no question about that. And they were never as good as they were at the beginning of the season, and they're not as bad as they are right now. I think they just happen to be in a division that's better than what I and a lot of others thought was going to be. The Nationals, you know, go to Arizona and sweep them this weekend, showing what they can be. The Phillies have been a pretty pleasant surprise, especially since that start. And the Braves are the biggest surprise in baseball. I thought they were a year away. Mm. They're not. They are real. They are real. And the scary part is that as the Mets know, and as the Mets benefited from greatly, I think, Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager for the Atlanta Braves, is willing to go out and make trades. And the Mets have Noah Syndergaard because of that right now. But what that means is that he's working with arguably the deepest farm system in baseball at this point. And if he wants to strengthen his team for a run in October, in a year where the Dodgers are down, in a year where there's really no dominant team in the Central, the Cubs haven't distinguished themselves. I mean, this is a year where a team from the National League can just come out straight up, steal the pennant. Yeah. And I think that it's going to make for a very interesting trade deadline, because all of a sudden you have teams that are believers. They believe that they can contend, and it's reasonable and realistic that they have that belief.
I agree that the Braves have certainly come faster than anybody could have imagined. They're 10 games above 500. They have all this great young talent, but I'd almost argue that the Pirates are a bigger surprise, only because when they made the deals that they made, trading away Andrew McCutchen, trading away Gerrit Cole, we all figured, well, they're going to lose 90 games. They're not going anywhere. And there's a long way to go. But they're a game out of first place. The Braves you could see coming, even if we didn't think it would be this year. How about the Pittsburgh Pirates being 6 games above 500?
Yeah, I honestly don't get it either. If you go and look at their numbers, it's just a bunch of dudes. And they're winning close games, and that's what's mattering at this point. The Pirates have always been a team that have been good at finding those little marginal advantages. I don't think this lasts. I don't think it's sustained. I think by the end of the year, it's going to be the Cubs, and the Brewers should be there as well. And the Cardinals are always there. Though the Cardinals, it's incredible that they're as good as they've been, guys. When Matt Carpenter's batting 147 and Dexter Fowler's batting 150, and those guys who were batting, you know, third and first, respectively, for half that team's games.
Yeah. The Cardinals always seem to be good. They really do. How about the American League? Let's go to the Yankee Red Sox here. Who wins the division there? In your mind, they're both going to make the playoffs, but who wins the division there?
Yeah, I've said the Yankees from the start. They've given me absolutely no reason to stray from that pick. They've been the best team in baseball this year, and they're frightening. Their lineup is frightening. Their starting pitching has been plenty good, and their bullpen is frightening. They're catching the ball. The fact that on, you know, half the days of the week, three quarters of their infield is made of rookies. Good Lord. Like, it's enough to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in the same outfield. It's enough to have the depth and the bullpen that they've got. But then to come out and start three rookies and three productive rookies in the infield at the same time, I mean, it's just the rich getting richer. Mm. And the fact that they've got Justice Sheffield waiting in the wings to come up at any point, really, they're just going to get better. I mean, this is potentially a rookie class we're going to look back on and just be stupefied that they were on the same team.
We haven't gotten to this on the show yet today, but it's amazing that Brandon Drury, who's a very solid Major League Baseball
minor
player,
leagues.
Is now a minor leaguer because the Yankees don't have room for him. That just shows you how deep they are right now.
Yeah, they're really good, man, and they're only getting better. Like, that's the frightening part. And oh, by the way, they're under the threshold this year, and they're going to be able to go out and spend even more next year. It's just, you know, around the sport, a lot of teams can take solace only in that baseball is a sport where you really can't predict what's going to happen, and the big Leviathan doesn't always win. Because if it were more like the NBA, or even in some regards the NFL, the Yankees would be winning championships for the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, you got a gauntlet of playoffs you got to go through, and that's really what it comes down to.
Exactly, and look, as we saw last October, I mean, I don't think anybody anticipated the Yankees to push as far and as deep as they did into it, but they proved that even if you're not quite there yet, you can almost make a World Series.
Yeah,
if I gave you the option to select one pitcher in the American League to build a rotation around, would it be Luis Severino, or do you still put Corey Kluber ahead of him? I know Verlander, too, but he's getting up there in age a little bit. He's in his 30s. Where do you put Severino on that list?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sale is 30 as well. He's got to be in the discussion. The only thing about Severino that scares me is that he throws really hard, and he hasn't had elbow surgery yet.
Mm-mm.
And I'm always wary of those guys who haven't gone out and done it for like 5-6 straight seasons and proven that their arm is capable of withstanding the wear and tear of multiple 200 inning seasons. I'd say if you're asking me who the best young pitcher in the American League is right now, it's unquestionably Severino. And I'm sure, look, you can put Gerrit Cole, if you still consider him young, in that conversation, but among guys who I believe Severino's not even 25 yet, guys in that age group, Severino's the guy, period.
Is there anybody but Cleveland that can win the AL Central?
Minnesota, maybe, but it's Cleveland or bust there. I mean, if you're making one bet in baseball right now, which is totally legal and wonderful, even with the odds, you're betting the Indians to win the Central. They haven't played all that well.
No.
But in their bullpen has been quite a bit of trouble. What they do have, though, is Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez in the middle of that lineup with Michael Brantley healthy and hitting. And they've got Kluber, Clevinger, Carrasco, and Bauer at the top of that rotation. That's a hell of a group of four starters right there. And I'm not worried about the Indians in any way, shape, or form.
Would you rather have a player with a 1,000 OPS with 5 home runs and 16 RBIs, or a player that, let's say, has a 3.5 ERA and is averaging 11 strikeouts per 9 innings? Which one would you rather have?
Sounds like a fantasy trade coming
no,
up.
No, it's which Ohtani would you rather have?
Oh, I see. I thought that was a fantasy deal.
No, nothing related. You want hitter Ohtani or pitcher Ohtani?
I'd like both. I'll take both, please. It is increasingly incredible what he's doing. Like, doing it regularly, just doing it is hard. Doing it regularly at a good level is pretty damn impressive. Being elite at both is beyond absurd. What he's doing is beyond absurd at this point. And it's not just the numbers that stand out, guys. It's the fact that he's been the best hitter in baseball this year with runners in scoring position. And it's the fact that he's coming with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball that, I'm not kidding you, has been his most hittable pitch.
Mm.
Like, he has ended, this was before his last start, so I don't know if these numbers are updated, but he had ended 31 plate appearances on split-finger fastballs. 2 of them were walks, 19 of them were strikeouts, and the other 10 were outs. Hitters were 0-29 on his splitter going into his last start.
Crazy.
It is a ludicrous pitch. And by the way, he's got a great curveball and a great slider too. He's got 4+ pitches, and he's OPSing over 1,000.
Doesn't he have to be the MVP? I mean, seriously, no matter what anyone else does, Mookie Betts, you take the guy. If he's going to keep
these... They're tied
for
first with Houston, too, now, aren't
they? If they get, they are in percentage points ahead.
Right,
if he keeps up this kind of pace, doesn't he have to be? How could he not be?
Because there are players who produce more. I think
how?
Mookie
he does
Betts
both.
Yeah, but if you're doing that, I mean, how you... Yeah.
I mean, he's starting once a week, guys, and he's batting three times a week. And I get what you're saying, Evan. I totally get what you're saying. But people are capable of producing more by playing 7 days a week or by pitching 200 plus innings a year. Like, I think there's a perfectly good argument to be made that while what Ohtani's doing has like the incredible factor to it, the value factor. And the value factor is big, don't get me wrong. He's been a really valuable player, but I think there have been more valuable through this point of the season.
Mm. Interesting. Jeff, it's
I take Mike Trout. I take his teammate over him at this point. I think Trout's been more valuable than Ohtani.
Interesting. Mm. Jeff Passan is the author of The Arm. He hosts the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast. Just did one with Joey Votto, which you should check out. Jeff, always do a great job. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Always fun, boys. Thanks for having me.
See you.
The great Jeff Passan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.